Do you drink water like a dog, or do you keep your eyes on the horizon? That's actually a biblical question. And we're not going to be preaching today, but I think it's pretty interesting for modern men to think about. Do you lower your head and drink water like a dog or an animal, or do you keep your eyes on the horizon? Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear. We talk about, you know, it's okay to be a man. There's nothing wrong with it. We shouldn't be something we run away from. We sure as crap shouldn't be teaching our young men that it's not good to be masculine. And if you're an older dude like me, it's just the way you're grown up, and that's the way it is. And you're not going to have some feminist little psychiatrist professor somewhere trying to tell you that you're a bad person because you don't act like a woman. Before we get into tonight's show, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. He's got all kind of copper tags that you can use for all kind of different things. He's got a full line of trapping supplies, Funky Trap Line, or Trap Tags and Supplies. He also has a full line of predator calling stuff. He's got all kind of stuff now for fishing. And he says that's booming because I think people are starting to think maybe they need to get prepared in case they have to catch their own fish. And he's got a lot of deer scents and stuff like my tactical nuke. And people are already starting to buy that, which historically is a little early. But I think people are starting to think with the COVID, maybe they need to think a little bit about the future. Which is pretty smart because that's kind of like keeping your eyes on the horizon. So Funky Trap Tags and Supplies can help you do that. I was reading a book by Jack Carr. Last name is C-A-R-R. And he's got three books out. He's an ex-Navy SEAL. Actually was teasing Tim Meat Trapper that if that was his pseudonym or his ghostwriter name, because it seems like a story. The first book was right from Tim. It was wild, to say the least. And it's with everything going on today with COVID-19, it really makes you think. And it's a quick read. It's an easy read. I believe it's called The Terminal List. His actual name of the book. Jack Carr is the author. And I heard about him on Joe Rogan. And it was just very interesting. Now, one of the things that was so amazing about Mr. Carr is he knew before he went in the Navy he wanted to be a fiction writer. And he didn't write, he read fiction. He studied writers. And he figured out styles he liked, styles he didn't, things that authors did that he liked, that he didn't. He compared notes. He took notes on fiction books, but he didn't write. And he spent 20 years, I believe, as a Navy SEAL and retired. And then he went to start writing. And he had this character in his mind, which was Captain Reese. And it started off, it's just a good book. But see, Mr. Carr had his eyes on the horizon. He knew he wanted to be a SEAL. He did that. But he also knew that past being a SEAL, he wanted to be a writer. Now, that may not sound like a very sexy or manly thing to a lot of us, because to me, writing, I've written three books, and that's probably not the funnest time I've ever had in front of a computer. Writing fiction, coming up with plots and characters and all that, that's probably a lot more work than we give it credit for. And he did a dang good job. But looking at the horizon from the very beginning, knowing he wanted to be a fiction writer after, or if, he survived being a SEAL, is amazing in the modern day's world. Because people just don't look at things that way anymore. See, I think, personally, real men, not immature men, but real men, they keep their eyes on the horizon. Now, the story I'm talking about, and if I could, put my preacher voice on, I would. But I remember this story growing up, and it's also in the first or second book of Mr. Carr's book. I tried to do a search on it real quick, couldn't find it. So I'm going to have to ad-lib a little bit. But this is a story that if you spend a lot of time in Sunday school, you probably heard this. And it might have been an interesting story. It might have been a confusing story. It didn't make a whole lot of sense when you think about the way we look at warfare today. But the Israelites are going up against some bad hombres. See, hombres was not in the Bible. That's ad-lib. And they were going up against some people that were very dangerous and very good at war. And they had a special mission. Now, they had hundreds, if not thousands, of warriors volunteer for this. And they wanted to have a selection phase, again, ad-libbing, to these soldiers. So what they did is they, in the middle of the day, they took them down to a creek or river, and they watched them drink. About 95% of the men, it seems like, it was hot, they were thirsty. They got down on their hands and knees, and they just drank right from the creek. Kind of like, imagine if you were drinking from a bathtub. Or a great big old margarita glass, and you don't want to pick it up. That's kind of what how I picture this. See, I don't know what the historical way that people drank back then. You know, most of us now will use a cup or something like that. But there was very few men that kept one hand on their spear as they knelt down, and they would take their hand in the water and bring their hand up to their mouth so they could keep a lookout. Most of the soldiers, according to the story, drank like animals. And the ones that kept their spears up and drank looking at the horizon were the ones that God wanted on this mission. And they succeeded because they had the right people. It's not how they drank the water that mattered. It's that they paid attention to the horizon. There's danger. There's future there. There's opportunity there. You don't know what's coming over the horizon. None of us do. But if you don't keep looking at it, all of a sudden, good or bad is going to be standing right in front of your face. Now, if it's somebody with a winning lottery ticket, that's pretty cool, right? What if it's a freaking 400-pound tiger and you got your head down and you're not paying attention? Well, now you're going to be tiger crap here in about a day and a half. What if the enemy's coming over? What if they sent scouts? What if you're paying attention to the horizon and you see just a shimmer of sunlight off somebody's armor? You know you're being watched. I do believe that's a pretty dang good way for a man to look at what he does on a day-to-day basis. Keep his eyes on the horizon. Now, in the middle of all of the COVID madness, bunker building, toilet paper stealing, meats, going up in price. People still can't get to work. People still aren't getting their unemployment. Small businesses are really not getting any help. It's easy to just put your head down. But I was in a texting group with some good friends of mine. And we started talking about possible opportunities from this. Now, that may sound terrible to some of you. But see, everything in life, everything has negatives and opportunities. And if a man starts seeing the world that way, he starts really understanding that things can be bad, but you have something to do with it on how it's going to affect you. If you're a brick-and-mortar store right now and you're not looking at the horizon and you're just moping and you're not working 23 hours a freaking day to get your stuff up online for people, Don't be surprised when you lose your business because you're not looking at the horizon. See, this is happening with newspapers. Besides, they're all just a bunch of liars. And they I don't know why they call them newspapers. They should be gossip columns. But they're getting hammered. Why? Because that's not the future. They took their eyes off the horizon because they thought it was always going to be that way. When people get in too much debt, they are definitely taking their eyes off the horizon. Because whatever does come over that hill, you're going to have very little options when it happens. See, the thing about downturns in the economy that you're not taught about in school is there's always massive opportunities. But that's never what you're really taught about, because that's not what people teach employee-minded people to think about. I can tell you that if the COVID comes back in force in the fall, I'm going to be not making animal lures. I'm going to be making hand sanitizer. Since I'm not in debt, it's not something I really had to worry about this time, but if it happens again, there's an opportunity there. I can sell it locally. All that I ever want to make and sell. Not something that's going to be very valuable once everybody calms down and realizes this is probably not much worse than the flu. But when people are scared and they go to the store and they can't get hand sanitizer and they're thinking if they can't wash their hands 362 times a day, they're going to die. And you got hand sanitizer with the ingredients of 85% alcohol. Here it is. They will pay you that. And I'm not talking about jerking people's chains with prices. I'm just talking about regular business. Seems terrible. See, we live in a small town that does not look at the horizon, and I can tell you why. We have no Uber. We have no Uber Eats. We have none of the other Grubhubs or anything like that going on. A lot of the older people are used to going out and getting dinner. I mean, that is their what they look forward to every day, is to meet a couple of friends at the Cracker Barrel or somewhere like that, and they'll take a long time to eat, and it's more of a get-together than it is just feeding the body. And this whole time, because my wife follows and she knows how I think, so if something like this was to come up, she would be the first one to tell me. I have no doubt. Somebody could have made a killing if they chose to do so, that's probably out of work, by starting up something like a Rockwood Uber Eats. Now, you couldn't call it Uber Eats, but it would be like Rockwood Eats. Rockwood Delivers Eats. I don't care what you call it. Start getting on Facebook. You would have been delivering food 15 hours a day. 15. Easy. At night, you'd have been hiring people to do this. 3 months ago, not so important. Right now, it'd be huge. $20 to go get someone's groceries. They pay for the groceries. You go get the groceries. You get five people you got to go get groceries for, you just made $100. Not FU money, but when no one else is making money, it's pretty good money. And how many times can you go to the grocery store in a day? Around here, hundreds and hundreds of people would have paid someone when they were scared to death to go get their groceries. To take that risk. But people don't have their eyes on the horizon. They got their head stuck down in the creek. What can they get right now? See, the saddest thing that's happening in America today is you have so many people that have lost money. They've lost money in the stock market. They've lost a lot of money in their 401ks. They're not getting paid. They still have bills, and they do all that. And that sucks. I mean, there's no other way to put it except that sucks. And then you have another group of people that thought about the horizon, and they set money back just for this type of thing. Now, they didn't know it was going to be a COVID-19 outbreak, because if you're like me, you never heard of it before this. People that have money, when people get desperate, they start selling things at way below market value. If the unemployment doesn't get back under control pretty quick, people are going to start losing houses. And that's sad. But if you're the person that set back money, is it sad to you when you can buy a house that's probably going to be back on track in 3 or 4 years of what it would be a couple of years ago, and you can buy it at 50%? See, that seems harsh to some people, but it's the way that it is. If you're a business and you're looking to expand your business, and other businesses are really sucking high intent because they didn't look at the horizon and plan ahead at all, you can acquire other businesses at prices you would have never thought of before, because they're going out of business. There's a whole lot of small businesses that are going to be going out of business. If it's something that could help your core, whatever it is that you're doing, huge, massive opportunity. But if you didn't think about the horizon to think about something like this ever happening, you're messed up. There's a lot of people that collect silver and gold just for this purpose right here alone. If you got silver and gold and you need money right now, guess what? Your gold and silver is a lot more valuable now than it was when you paid for it. I can't even imagine what firearms must be worth in places that shut down gun stores and people are scared. Supply, low. Demand, high. Box of ammo, what's that worth? See, when I think about what real men should do, real men should always have their eyes on the horizon. They should always have their hand on their spear. See, in the Army, we had this a rule. It's a UCMJ type rule. But in the infantry, your weapon was never more than arm's length away. And if it was, you paid a tremendous physical, agonizing price for that. Because if you need it and it's 30 foot away, you might as well not have it. So that was beat into my head in the military. Arm's length away. Your arm's what? I'm 6'2", so that means my arm's what? 26 inches long? See, when you look at the horizon, that's when you can start looking for opportunities, and you can start looking for threats, and you can have time to deal with either one of them. But if you're not looking at the horizon, guys, I don't know how you react to anything. You're just a victim of whatever comes washing over that thing. I wouldn't be surprised if the real story in the Bible didn't have some of the men that walked out away from the other men when they were drinking, like up on a ridge, they could get a better view. I can almost see that happening in my mind. Because you want to have as much time as you can to handle whatever's coming. See, if you're cheating on your wife, you're like someone drinking water like a dog with their head down. Regardless of what your relationship is like, Not looking at the horizon is going to cost you. And it can cost you in many ways, which I don't have to get into. But if you're a guy, I guarantee you, you heard of them. When a country lets bureaucrats and politicians think that they are in control, you have what you have right now. See, the American population has not had their eyes on the horizon. You got people that are not getting any help from the government, but the government made them shut their doors. The people that work for those people are not getting unemployment because the lines are too long. People are running out of money. They need food. They need to pay rent. They need to pay the house payment. They don't want to lose their car that they've spent 3 years paying for. The government doesn't actually do what it said it's going to do. It took care of its pals. And if you're a big corporation, oh, don't worry about it. You're good to go. If you're a bank, oh, here's $3-4 trillion. Just go make sure that you get some, triple that when you give it to a customer. But little people? No. But because we didn't look at the horizon in the past as a whole of a country, now you've got governors and mayors and faceless bureaucrats that are passing these ordinances. And there's actually Americans being put in jail while they let criminals that rape, kill, and pillage others out. That's because we took our eyes as men of this country off the horizon. People have been put in jail for just having an open sign as a protest. Not even having customers in their store. We as men are in the place we're at now because we took our eyes off the horizon. The threat was right there. Little wannabe dictators that were picked on in school, and now they have a semblance of power and they're abusing it. Kind of like Illinois is coming out and saying he don't think he's going to let churches get back together for a year. What do you want to bet their sporting events in that state, though? I believe what we're seeing today is the effects of a country and men that didn't look at the horizon, and now we're surprised when the tiger's in front of us. You're starting to see a lot of people get very upset at governments, as they should be. Because the lawyers that work as politicians, they're not hurting for money. The big corporations, they got all the money they're going to need to spend for a long time. So they're not worried about it. But a lot of the employees and small business owners are going to get crushed at the end of this. And what's worse than that is we now somehow believe that because a government bureaucrat says something like a ordinance, that it is a law. Or somehow that a faceless bureaucrat in some type of little bitty office that was just a buddy of somebody's because he got it anyway, can make an ordinance and have citizens put in jail as criminals are being released. That just blows my mind. You have people starting to protest. Like Michigan. Dude showing up with deuce and a half with AR-15s. People are getting pissed. The more people that lose their homes because of this, it's about to get ugly. I hope it doesn't go that far. You're going to start having people that's not going to care what anybody says in government because, as far as they're concerned, they screwed their life up. See, you have to look at that horizon to kind of be ready for it. Because I don't know what that means. Hopefully, you can just vote them all out. But somehow, we Americans have the memory of a two-year-old, apparently, when that happens. We never remember anything too long. So we'll let the same people stay in office because they'll promise us something. Because we're like dogs and animals drinking with our heads down out of a creek. The best advice a redneck from Tennessee can give another man out there is look at the horizon. You need to look at the future. Not in an abstract way, but a real way. How are you going to be better monetarily in 5 years than you are today? Most people, it's just they might as well just crap in one hand and wish in the other. They've never, ever really tried to figure that out. And you know what? In 5, 10, 15 years, they're no better off than they were before. That's a failure as a man. When you look at your health, part of the thing that frustrates me so much about the quote fitness industry is it's all about the freaking abs. How about just getting people where they don't have bad necks and bad backs and bad knees and where they can move around and actually live a life and do something? Not like they're starving to death because they got abs. See, someone that's worried about their abs and fitness, they ain't thinking about health. That's today. That's just like to maybe get somebody to say something to you about your abs. That's not long-term fitness. Thinking about if you're going to leave something for your children. Thinking about your family's future. Is it best for you to do what you're doing today because it's safe and secure? Or is it better for you to jump out just a little bit, start a side hustle, give it a shot, because maybe you can come up with a way that you don't have to work 8, 9, 10 hours a day and drive an hour both ways and be in a cubicle with a bunch of people that if people really knew what you thought about them, they would call the police on you because you dislike them so much. See, that's looking towards the future. That's the horizon. Thinking about your kids' education. Giving them to the state? That's not the horizon, dude. That's absolutely drinking water like an animal. Your own education. You don't have to go to college to be educated. That's school. I'm talking education. If you're not smarter in 5 years than you are today, and I don't mean by like watching the Tiger King smart, I'm talking about actually knowing something more, be curious a little bit about life, for goodness sake. You're not going to be any different in the future than you are right now because you only know what you know. See, that's looking towards the horizon. Think about this as you go about your daily life, please. We always heard the old saying, which I think is doesn't even make any sense if you talk to anybody that's ever been around an ostrich, but ostriches put their head in the sand. That's kind of silly when you think about it. They get scared, they put their head in the sand. I think most men today put their head in the sand because they don't want to think about the horizon. It's about right now. Feeling good, being entertained, a new toy. Ah, oh, Oh, don't worry about that, putting that on a credit card. Oh, we can make the payment. Think about the horizon when you make decisions. The world, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but seems to be getting more chaotic. Half the country hates the other half of the country. Races have been trained to hate other races. Countries, socialist, capitalist, everybody's taught to think the other is a bad person. You got terrorists running around doing unhuman things to other people. It's just weird. It's getting weirder by the day. So there's more horizon that you got to look out for. You know, and think about it in terms of different horizon. Let's say in 10 years, economy's kicking. How are you going to put that in your advantage as a man for your family? If the economy's in the tank, how are you going to put that in advantage for your family? If it's just running medium, how are you going to put that as an advantage to your family? Have you ever looked at things like that? Have you really thought about the future that way? I hope so. Boys don't. I guarantee you, immature men don't. Real men keep their eyes on the horizon. Now, I want to switch completely topics. And we've been talking a ton about weightlifting and trying to get guys to get on the bandwagon so they're actually physically fit men and good examples for their kids and they can do things instead of watching on TV. Makes sense to me. But I do want to talk about something that I get nervous talking about because I know how people think because I can watch them. I know how people are so soft mentally and physically. I know that people are looking at excuse to always do less because they've always been taught, you know, you work smart, not hard, which is stupid. Because if you can be as smart as you want, if you don't work hard at smart, you're not going to get anywhere. But I know how people are. Now, to some of you, if you try to get into fitness, you can use what I'm getting her to say as an excuse. Some of you need to really pay attention to it. This has a lot to do with your mentality when you do whatever it is that you're doing for fitness. I don't care if it's running, swimming, lifting weights, CrossFit, strongman, riding a bicycle, triathlons. I don't care what it is. Especially as you get older. You've got to learn to throttle down if you're a go-getter. Now, if you're not really a go-getter, I doubt you ever need to do what we're getting ready to talk about. Because you probably never really stress your body enough to matter. When I'm at a commercial gym, I hardly ever see anybody stress their body in a gym. It amazes me. What do they think they're accomplishing? Why are they even there? I would love to ask that question, but I would just be a dick if I were to ask somebody that. Because it'd almost be like an accusation, and that's not the point. I'm really curious when people do things that they don't even stress themselves when they're trying to get in better shape. And then you have the complete other side. I happen to fall more into this camp, and it's something I'm working on very hard not to. It's been part of my life the whole time, from the military, from playing sports, to the military, to being a business owner. I'm competitive, and I enjoy pushing myself. And the problem with that is you can stress yourself too much. Now, see, this is where I think the term deload or taking it easy gets very tricky. Because to somebody that thinks lifting a 10-pound dumbbell for curls, that's a grown man, it's age 40, and as soon as they feel a little bit of burn, they put it down because they don't want to hurt themselves, I'm not referring to you. But if you start lifting some weights, you start getting some strength, you start feeling really good, it's like you're thrown back into the mindset of almost being back in high school because your body's feeling this way. And you're benching, say, 300 pounds. And it took you a while to get up to 300 pounds. Now you want 310. Then you want 320. Then you want 330. Then you want 340. Then 350. And eventually you're hoping you hit that magical 500 or 400 mark. For some of you, you may be looking at 500 already. And you get focused on something like that. Or you get focused on becoming really strong. And you push, and you push, and you push. And then, all of a sudden, the more you push, you feel like you're getting weaker. So what do? Because it's your mindset, you push harder. You do more. Because we've always heard, most of us anyway, the harder you work, the better off you'll be. And that's true to a point. But if you're a real go-getter when it comes to weightlifting, what you have to learn is as important as your diet and sleeping, is you've got to be able to throttle back. If you're on the other end of that spectrum, and you're doing your four sets of 10, and maybe 3-4 times a month you get a little bit of sweat pop out on your forehead doing it, yeah, I'm not really talking to you. We say that's what I get nervous about. Someone like that going, I don't want to overtrain. I don't want to get weaker, so I need to just back off. But you've done backed off the whole time anyway, so that doesn't make any sense. But on the other end of the extreme, someone that does push themselves, because I've got some emails from some guys that I can tell are fired up because they're about my age. They're pushing weights they didn't think they'd ever be able to see. They're not feeling like all the other 55-year-olds around them. They're feeling about 25. I mean, they're getting some swagger back in their life, not where they're starting to look for the rocking chair. And they get excited about all this stuff. They want bigger deadlifts and bigger benches and bigger squats. And all of a sudden they realize they don't have to be tiny muscled. They can actually grow muscle 50, 60 years old. And the more fired up they get about it because they start feeling better, the harder they push. And then all of a sudden, like a couple of the emails I've got, I'm getting weaker. The reason for that is your body does not grow in the gym. You do not get stronger in the gym. You get stronger not being in the gym. When you're doing something in the gym, guys, you stress your body. Your body has to rest and recuperate to get stronger. And if you're doing, 4 or 5 days a week, and you're really pushing yourself for weeks on end, your nervous system gets fried. You start not wanting to eat. You don't sleep good. You really don't want to go to the gym. You start getting grumpy. Your body is being overworked, and that's the consequences of it. So your body does not want you to hurt itself because it kind of likes itself, and it actually starts throttling you back. Your nervous system throttles you back to protect yourself from yourself. So if you're on the gung-ho side of this, I highly recommend, and I'm playing around with different things right now, which I'm getting ready to explain. I can tell you from doing powerlifting type conjugate system from Westside Barbell type stuff, after about 3 weeks, I need a break at 51 years old. That doesn't mean I don't do anything. I just do more lightweight, hypertrophy, higher reps. I give my nervous system a break. I give my ligaments a break, tendons a break. Let all that recuperate. And lo and behold, when I come out of that, I'm actually stronger than I was when I went into it, even though I'm not lifting the heavier weights, because I've allowed myself to recuperate. And the scientific term is super compensation, which has been talked about from the 70s from the Russians. You're actually stronger at the end of that. But if you keep pushing, you actually get weaker. If you don't believe me, I want you to do something for 3 weeks. I want you to bench 90% of your max for 3 weeks. You'll only get one rep, two maybe. Do 3 or 4 sets of that. After about week 4 or 5, you're going to really struggle to do what you could do easily the first week. Your body's going to start throttling you back. Now, take about 2 weeks off from that if you push it really hard. Just do some hypertrophy. If you're benching 300, do, you know, like sets of on a bench, 185, 205 for, you know, reps somewhere between 15 and 20 and 25 for a couple of weeks. Get a good pump, let everything calm down, go back and bench, watch what happens. You need to be able to recover. And especially, I think, as we get older, I think we have to give our body a chance to recover from what we're doing. We're not 21 years old. We don't have that type of metabolism, and we're not as bulletproof as we were then. We have to be a little bit smarter as we get older. So what I've been playing around with, and I won't have an answer on this for months. So what I started doing, when I felt myself getting tired, I would just take a week off. And it felt really good. And a lot of times it would fall because I had conventions or I was going on vacation or go to see family or whatever. And I get 3, 4, 5 days off. I wouldn't even think about lifting weights. I'd come back. I'd feel great. I'd be strong. But what I'm trying to figure out now is, at being 51 years old, if I do 3 weeks of strength training with some hypertrophy special exercises, and I take a week and just do lightweight, high rep hypertrophy for 1 week, can I recuperate from those 3 weeks to go back and start another cycle? I don't think I can, because I've done this 3 times already. So my next goal is, I'm going to do, because that's what I'm doing right now. This is a hypertrophy week for me. This is a deload. It's a taking a break. So I'm not really pushing heavy weights. So I'm probably going to take 2 weeks of hypertrophy, let things get recuperated, let all the joints and tendons, you know, not have the stress on them, and then go back in. Am I going to lose strength? Is it going to come back pretty quick? Am I going to be stronger? And I may run that for 3 or 4 cycles. I may break it down to doing 2 weeks of strength in a week of hypertrophy. Or it may even come up to the point as someone gets older, because I don't know, because there's not a lot of stuff written on this. Maybe it's a week of strength and a week of hypertrophy. So it'd be like a week of going balls to the walls with power, and then a week of doing hypertrophy, less intensity, more volume. I don't know where it's going to fall. But what I can tell you, after doing this pretty strong for about a year and a half now, is it seems to me that my body goes, yeah, that's enough. And I need to back it off. 3 weeks of power and 1 week of hypertrophy. I'm curious to see how that plays out. And then I'm getting ready to do a 2 week because I didn't really think I was getting recovered. And see, and I'm not doing this as an excuse to do lighter weight. I want to optimize whatever it is that I'm doing. And there's no book, no YouTube video that's going to be able to figure that out for you. The biggest thing I think that you need to be aware of is you don't go about this as a way to be wimpier. You want to do it as a way to be better. So I'm sure running's the same way. If you run really hard all the time, you're going to get burnt out. You need to deload. You need to pull back the intensity. If you're riding a bike, I'm pretty sure it's the same way. So what I would start with to test your own body, 3 weeks balls to the walls, because strength and tendons and joints and bones is one of the major things you need to think about as you get older. Not as much hypertrophy per se, where you're just trying to look jacked and tan, but you want to be strong so you can function as you get older. But somewhere you're going to find a sweet spot where you work on strength, whether you can look up the 531 program or the 1020 lifestyle program or the West Side Barbell Conjugate program for strength. You can look all that up. There's plenty of information out there. But as you get older, I'm not sure you can follow those plans per se. They're going to have to be modified, it looks like to me. Because I'm biting at the bit for weight. I like that. But if I can't throttle myself back, one of the things that I've heard repeatedly from people that are actual world champions in powerlifting is if you overtrain, injury soon to follow. That is not what we're looking for as we get older. We're not competing. I'm not competing in powerlifting. I have no interest in that whatsoever. So if you're not competing, take a slower, longer approach with enough recovery that it's enjoyable. Because once you get burnt out, there's a good chance you're going to quit. And there you're going to be 10 years from now struggling to get off the toilet because you quit because you burn out. Do it slow. Think about the horizon. Not about today or next week or next month. Think about long term. Lay those bricks. Build that foundation. And if you're a go-getter, throttle back sometimes. You'll have to figure out deloading, a lot of hardcore people, you see it on the YouTube videos, they call that being a wimp and all that. That's just ignorance. That's marketing. No human being can go 100% on every set, every day, for weeks. You're going to get hurt. So you got to be smart enough to realize you got to let your body recuperate. If you're tearing it down all the time, it's not going to recuperate. For some people, the way that I work out, because I do it 6 days a week, is too much for them. The 2 days there's only 4 days I work really hard. 2 days, I just do special exercises on small muscles like neck and rear delts and biceps and forearms and calves. I ain't stressing very much when I do that. It's not like benching, deadlifting, or squatting. So really, I'm pushing myself 4 days a week, and at least after 21 days of doing that, I can tell you I've got to deload. Now, if I have to deload 2 weeks, I don't care. I'm still laying those bricks. I've still got my eyes on the horizon. I'm still going to be able to do things 15 years from now that most people my age are just going to be mystified at, because they live in a world of atrophy and malnutrition. So whether it's your business, your income, a side hustle, your family, your kids, or being physically fit so you can enjoy this world, look on that horizon. Put it in different sectors of good, bad, and ugly. And how are you going to handle those? See, like one thing, I'm going to finish on this. If you started getting into physical fitness before COVID and you're going to a gym and you've got any room whatsoever where you live or at someone's barn or somewhere and you couldn't go all of a sudden, not good, right? See, one way to look at the horizon when it comes to your fitness is, I don't care what the government says. I don't care about too much. I know at any day, because I've got a squat rack and a belt squat and some plates and some barbells, I can walk 30 yards from my front door and I can be working on my physical fitness. See, looking at the horizon, I now see after this, after as crazy as the government's got, if I'm really serious about my physical fitness, to not have at minimum a backup of a home gym, then I need to get serious about a home gym. And you can get really creative. You'd be surprised. And just the equipment I told you about in a pulley system that you can build from Harbor Freight for about $30, there's nothing that I can't work here that you can work in a regular gym. And I own it. And nobody can close it. That's looking at the horizon. At a minimum, you need to get some plates and a squat rack. If it's outside and it turns rusted and gnarly looking, who cares? You might just be surprised one of your kids may want to join you. Let me tell you, that'd be pretty cool. You got a kid that plays sports and you teach him how to have strong posterior chain, he's going to be heads and tails above someone else in high school. You can do that for them, thinking about the horizon. All right, guys. I'll talk to y'all later.